May it please God to bless us as we meditate in his word this morning. Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55 and we'll read verses 6 and 7. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55 and reading verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The prophecy of Isaiah has sometimes been referred to very aptly as the Gospel of Isaiah, because as we know there is gospel right through the Bible, not only in the New Testament, right from Genesis to Revelation, but in some locations it's perhaps more obvious and more specific than others. And so here we have this prophecy of Isaiah, which is a wonderful prophecy by which Isaiah was called to write and to speak to the Israelites of old when they were in that place of difficulty and opposition to God. And yet there were so many wonderful invitations which the prophet was directed by the Holy Spirit of God to write. And here we have in these two verses before us this morning a wonderful truth, a wonderful, gracious invitation to people. And we are told, therefore, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What a blessing that is if the Holy Spirit gives us that true desire to seek the Lord. Now, the chapter begins with these words, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So again, it's a wonderful invitation. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Now, naturally, you and I will not thirst. We will not be thirsty for the things of God. Naturally, we will be thirsty for the things of the world. We will want to follow the things of this world, the course of this world. And that's what naturally we will be thirsty after. But what a great blessing it is if God gives us a spiritual thirst. And that means a thirst after spiritual things, a thirst after the things of God, and not after the things of time, which we so often look upon and perhaps covet and think, well, that would be rather nice, and that would be good, and that would be pleasant. But you and I will find that the things of time are really empty, and there's no true happiness, and there's no true peace. Whereas in the things of God, there is, because there is eternal happiness and there is eternal peace. And so what a vast difference there is, surely, between eternal things and time things. And therefore what a blessing it is for us today to have such a gracious and glorious invitation which the Word of God gives to those who are thirsting, those whom God has given a thirst for the things of God. And if we are blessed with that heavenly thirst, the invitation is, come. Come ye to the waters. The water of life. How vital that is. How necessary it is. How needful it is. And therefore may we have a thirst and hear the gracious words of God to come to the waters of life. No, we don't have to come to try and buy it. You see, it's free. The gospel is free. And if we had to buy the things of God, you know, it wouldn't bring glory to God, because we would have been contributing to our salvation. And if we were contributing to our salvation, we would claim some of the value. And we would say, well, I paid for that, and therefore I'm entitled to it. Well, you and I have no money, no spiritual money, no currency which would naturally pay for these great goods. And so what a mercy it is to come and realize we have statements like this to encourage us. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come. Well, this morning, let us just pause for a moment and look at our own personal life, our own personal condition before God, because it's not before man. We're often pretty concerned about what people think. It's a bit irrelevant, really. It's what God thinks. That's a great, important question. And so as we come this morning, is there that thirst after spiritual things, spiritual blessings? And the prophet goes on to tell us that we are to come and to buy wine and milk without money, without price. It's free, there's nothing to pay. But we are to come, we are to seek for it. And that's why we have these words, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Again, what a mercy it is to be found and to realize that we are in a gospel day. And especially to realize here in our country at the present time, we have a wonderful freedom to gather for worship. And often we don't appreciate the wonderful blessing there is. We're able to come here this morning realizing that no one has any right to stop us gathering here for worship. And how often we fail to appreciate the blessing that it is. How often we fail to realize what a wonderful mercy it is that we are privileged to be able to come together to worship. And may it be to be found even today, seeking the Lord. And the prophet goes on to tell us, wherefore you do spend money for that which is not bread. And we really mean by that spiritual food. We waste our time on the poor things of this world, which it won't do us any good eternally. And your labour for that which satisfieth not. It's a blessing if you and I know what it is to labour after things which we prove do not satisfy our soul. They may in some ways satisfy our flesh and satisfy our natural life, but it will only be temporary. It'll only be for a short time. It won't be for eternity. And so what a mercy it is if we have such a valuable instruction as this to labour for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me. That's what the Lord tells us. Let us realise the relevance of such a statement, to be diligent with regards to the blessing of our soul, to be diligent to seek that our souls may receive heavenly food, to be diligent in these things. How sad it is, often we are not diligent, not at all. Now you see, the word tells us here then, to hearken diligently unto me. When God speaks, to hearken, to hear his word. See, we're here this morning, wonderful privilege to hear the word of God. You may not think it much, you may not really appreciate it, but a wonderful thing if the Holy Spirit convinces us that there is a great blessing in listening to what God speaks to us. And then he says, and eat that which is good. That means take spiritual food and eat that which God provides through his word, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. That means to be delighted in the things of God, delighted in the gospel. Rejoice in what the word of God instructs us with regard to the gospel. And what is that? Well, it must lead us to Christ. There is the fatness of the gospel. And what a blessing it is if you and I, by the grace of God, can delight ourselves in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, in what he did in coming into this world to satisfy the demands of the holy law of God, and to die in our place to atone for our sins, so that we might stand free from the condemnation of the law of God that tells us the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, this morning, may we delight ourselves in the fatness of the gospel, recognizing it directs us without fail to the Lord Jesus Christ. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Yes, a wonderful thing to know that God makes with his people an everlasting covenant. It's not something that just lasts for our life on this earth. It lives, and it is throughout eternity. And I'm sure we don't need to be very clever to understand the vastness between time and eternity, and to realize here we have that which is everlasting. And he'll make it with us, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the people. And as you and I read through the especially the Psalms of David, you will see what a wonderful witness he gives to us. It is a witness which is very full and very complete. And just to remind ourselves of the wonder of these things, just a couple of references in the Psalms of David and Psalm 14, where we read the second verse, the Lord looked down from heaven. Isn't that wonderful? The great God, he looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Well, if God looks down this morning upon us here, and will he see those who are seeking God? And he'd also see those who are not seeking God. And we're told they are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Naturally, we all turn to the things of the world. What a blessing if we are found amongst those who do indeed truly seek God. And then another reference in the 27th Psalm, where again David speaks to us. He says in verse 7, the 27th Psalm, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." We get a very clear impression, don't we, that David here, he wasn't just saying a few words, some kind of traditional prayer. He had an earnestness. He wanted God to hear him. And he wanted God to answer him. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me. And answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Well, what a blessing for us today when we hear such a word as this. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. By the grace and mercy and favour of God, we're able to confirm with David, who was a man of God, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Well, this morning we've come here. Have we come to seek the face of the Lord? And that really is in two ways. It's either through his word, which we are able to read, and it also is through the wonderful facility of prayer. Prayer is the true breath of the true Christian. If there's no true prayer, there's no life, there's no evidence that you and I are a true Christian. But if the Lord confirms to us that we are a true Christian, we will have true prayer, true earnest prayer before our God. And not only does David speak to us through the Psalms, he also speaks to us, and we can read about it in the Chronicles and in the first book of the Chronicles, and right towards the end in the 28th chapter, we read, and David is speaking to Solomon, his son. He's speaking to encourage him. What a good thing it is. And this is what he says, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Well, that was wise words given to his son Solomon. Surely they are wise words for us today, to truly desire that we might be found serving the Lord with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, not grudgingly, not unwillingly, not saying perhaps this morning, I don't really want to go to chapel, I really want to stay at home. See, that's not a willing mind, that's an unwilling mind. What a blessing it is if we come with a willing mind. Remember, the Lord searches our hearts. You see, you and I can fool our friends, our parents, everybody. They don't know what we're thinking, do they? But God does. He knows very clearly. He searches our hearts. Our heart is, as it were, open before God. It's not secret at all. It's open before God. He searches it. The heart, he searches the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Well, we can often have some very evil imaginations, can't we, in our minds, and think very many wrong and evil things. And it's a very tragic scene if it is so, but it is very often so. And here we have in this 7th verse where Isaiah says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We must be concerned that we do not have evil thoughts, wrong thoughts, wicked thoughts, but we have those which are good. Because the Lord looks and he knows what our imaginations are, and yet he comes and says, and this is the glory of the gospel, but if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. This is the truth of God. This is the wonderful blessing that we have. If God gives us grace to truly seek him, may we have faith to believe that we will find him. We don't want to seek and not find, do we? We don't want to just pretend we're seeking and we're not at all. That won't do us any good. We want to be found amongst those who are truly seeking the Lord. Seek him. He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now that's a very solemn word. And you see, the devil will tell us to forsake the Lord. He will say, like many people do today, it's all fairy tales. It's not true. It's all false. Don't you believe what the Bible says? And the devil will make out there's many contradictions in the Bible where there aren't. It may appear so sometimes, but there aren't. The Word of God is true, and it's complete, and it is full. And there's no error in the Word of God. So be encouraged by that. But let us not forsake him. Because if we forsake him, what a terrible, terrible statement. He will cast us off, not just for a half an hour, just not for the odd day, but forever. Forever. And so here we have then these wonderful, encouraging words that we have here before us. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You see, we live today in a gospel day. Especially in our country, we have freedom of worship. We have the Bible to read. And realize there are many, many millions, perhaps billions of people today who still don't have the Bible in their own language and definitely have never seen a Bible and have definitely not seen the Bible as we are privileged to have. And so may we be so thankful that we have the truth of God and therefore that we may be found calling upon him while he is near. Oh, my friends, let us not find the Lord has turned his back upon us. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. We often underestimate the wonderful privilege that we have of being found in a Protestant land and having the Bible to read and being able to gather together for worship. It is an amazing blessing. An amazing blessing. And so, as we have such a statement as that, you know, there are so many encouraging words. We just mentioned a few words of encouragement to seek unto the Lord, but it's not limited, of course, to those. And just to turn to one of the famous prophets, Jeremiah, who had a difficult life, a hard time to preach and to speak to the people. And yet you see, he was faithful in all that he said. And we can read in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. He tells us this from verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon." That was the tragic result of their turning their back upon the Lord. They were to go and be in Babylon, a very unhappy place, for 70 years. But here the prophet is speaking to them to encourage them. "After 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Isn't the Lord merciful? He is still today. He was to Israel of old. He is still today. And these were the words. "Yes, I will visit you and perform my good word unto you in causing you to return to this place." And then he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Well, isn't that encouraging? God knows the thoughts he thinks towards you and me. "Then shall he call upon me." Well, at the time of Israel, there was to be a change. They were going to be there all those years. And then there would be a time when they would turn again. They would turn to the Lord. They would call upon his name. "Then shall they call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Again, a wonderful promise. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Well, that's a very solemn condition, really. because our hearts tend to be two values. We tend to think, well, I will seek the Lord, but I'll just carry on and I'll just enjoy the world, because I really think it's rather nice to be able to do two things. Well, you won't find that very successful. You'll find that unsatisfactory, because there won't be any true happiness in the things of this vain world. And yet here is the glorious promise: when you shall search for me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Well, what mercy that was of Israel. We only have to read the history of Israel, and you can read it. It's very fully covered in the Word of God, how Israel again and again were told about the truth of God, told again and again about their situation in turning their back upon God, turning their back upon the glorious signs that were shown to them in the temple, that of course all those wonderful sacrifices of animals and meats and of the incense all directed the hearers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what they turned away from. They turned away from it. They didn't see any beauty in it. They didn't see any necessity of it. They turned from it. Well, we see the mercy of God. The mercy of God. And my friends, isn't it glorious to think today that mercy has not changed? The Lord is still graciously merciful if we have turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. If we've seen no attraction in him, and the old devil has shown us the things of the world and sidetracked us to those poor things which have no real blessing. And yet here we have this statement before us this morning: let the wicked forsake his way. Forsake those things which are wrong. Forsake those things which are evil. Forsake those things which take us away from Christ. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. It's a very important little statement, that, because, as I said already, it's only God who knows what our true thoughts are. And we can sit in chapel, and you and I can look very wonderful and very proper. We can dress in all the right gear and look all right and nice and sober, but our hearts can be miles away. Miles away. No more worshipping than the man in the street. Nothing at all. Yes. Well, here is the word: let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The psalmist in the 119th psalm, he says this: I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And the difference between those two statements is enormous. I hate vain thoughts, which will never profit our soul, but thy law. And of course, the law in those days referenced that which consisted of the glorious ceremonial law, and all those ceremonials pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and to all that he did in his suffering to redeem sinful men. And there it was before them, and there it was, they turned their back upon it. But my friends, today may our thoughts be directed to Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ. May our thoughts be directed to what the Lord Jesus did to redeem our souls from all our sins, to realize what great blessings were accomplished there on that time, on that day, when the Lord Jesus was crucified to atone for all the sins of his people. And so then our thoughts be directed to Calvary, and always be concerned that they are to view the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore let us forsake wrong ways, you know what's wrong in your life. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now there's not a vacuum, there's not something to say, well, that's it, that's finished. No. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the fullness of the gospel, isn't it? The Lord doesn't say, well, I'll pardon a bit. No, the Lord pardons fully. He's paid the price. Take away all our sins. And it is an abundant pardon. You see, when you and I appreciate the cost of that forgiveness and realize the cost was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it involved him shedding his most precious blood on your behalf and my behalf, utterly unworthy as we are of the least favour from God. Why should God look upon us, a wretched sinner, wandering from God, far off? Why should God look upon us? Well, he looked upon Israel. Be encouraged. Perhaps we feel far off, not too far. You may remember the parable that the Lord spoke about what we refer to as the prodigal son. There he was in his father's house, and he looked out. He thought, oh, it's very beautiful over there. I'm going to go away. He asked for his money that was going to be his inheritance, and off he went, and he spent it all in, we're told, riotous living. Was he happy? No. And then, you see, when it all gone, he then began to be in want. And he realized all they'd been doing was of no value. But then he remembered his father's house. He remembered the blessings that were there. And so he said he would return and he would go to his father. And so we have these words, and let him return unto the Lord. Well, as you know in that parable, his father was looking for him, rejoiced to see him, and made a grand and glorious feast for him. What a mercy that is. What a blessing we have. Such a lovely parable to make this clearer, give us a better understanding of it. And you will have mercy upon him. Let him return unto the Lord. And the Lord gives grace to return. You know, many have never returned. They followed their own way. They've gone their own way. What a mercy if the Lord looks upon us and blesses us with that humble desire to truly turn to him. What wonderful words they were in that sermon we read, that Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that 5th, 6th and 7th chapter. If you're not very familiar with it, we'll go home and read it, because it's a very wonderful, wonderful statement. Great truths it contains. And so the Lord speaks and he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's a full statement, that, isn't it? Ask, knock, and it shall be opened, and to seek. Ask, seek, and knock. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Blessed words of the Saviour, aren't they? Wonderful words of the Saviour. And so may we be encouraged this morning. And he will have mercy upon him. Now, mercy is welcome news, isn't it? It's a lovely word, mercy, isn't it? How often we need mercy. Perhaps we need mercy from our friends. Perhaps we need mercy from people we may have offended. We've offended God. We've offended God. We need mercy from God. Without mercy, we shall be eternally lost. We need God's mercy. So let us seek for it. Let us pray for it. Let us return to the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly. See, God doesn't pardon by halves. He doesn't say, well now, let's watch you for a bit and see how you're going to get on. No. He abundantly pardons. And he abundantly pardons because he has paid the full price to take away all our sins. There aren't one or two left remaining there. The Lord Jesus pardoned all our sins. Everyone. None too bad. Not too many. Abundantly pardoned. It's a glorious word, isn't it, really? If you and I just think of it. If we look at our sins, it's a good thing when we do look at our sins and see our sins in the past. Perhaps they're mountains of sins. And we think, well, what's going to happen? You and I can't dissolve those sins ourselves. You and I can't rid ourselves of them ourselves. But you know, there was that lovely little example in the Pilgrim's Progress of Christian. He had a great burden on his back of his sin. And he was trudging along with it. And it was a real burden to him. And it's a good thing when sin is a real burden to us. It's not something which is something trivial, which we just think, oh, well, I carry on with that. No. Christian had a burden. And do you know when he lost that burden? He lost it when he looked at the cross. And he saw by faith there the Lord Jesus Christ dying to take away his burden. My friends, the burden fell off and disappeared in the pit to be seen no more forever. When God graciously and mercifully forgives, it's done. I will abundantly pardon, and let us never underestimate the cost of our salvation. Let us never underestimate the cost of the Lord Jesus Christ dying upon that cross to forgive our sins. Just ponder and think of what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ, the agony he endured, the spitting, the weight of all those punches that were put upon his face, all the blood, yes, the scourging, all the humiliation. And to think that wasn't just another person, it was the Lord God Almighty who condescended to endure that for rebellious sinners. What a mercy today. If you and I can count ourselves amongst those for whom Christ died. They rather rose again, so that by his grace one day we should be with him in glory rather than with the devil and all his angels in that place that you and I by nature deserve. So this morning, may be encouraged by these words. May be thankful for the gracious invitation the gospel has. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him, pray unto him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen.